Thank you, ladies. Good to be free, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. I have a thought I want to share with you. And Brother Hall was teaching all around it. And so I want to give you this thought that the Lord's laid on my heart. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going through the book of Hebrews. And we've come to chapter number 11. And in my study the last couple of weeks, we started in chapter 12 this past Wednesday, and I said then that I had a thought in chapter 11 that I wanted to share with you that God has given me, and I just think it's very important that we understand something that is being taught here, and I want to try to help you to get a good picture of it, okay? I believe that I'm in a church house full of people who want to serve God with their life. I mean, it's a Sunday night now, and most folks have even quit having services on Sunday night. I think that's a shame. I do. But we can't control what they do. We want to follow what God would have us to do. And what I want to say is this. I'm glad you're here tonight. I look across the congregation, and I'm encouraged when I see young folks. And God has always blessed this church with a lot of good, solid young people. If you're here tonight and you're 25 years of age or younger, I want you to stand to your feet. Would you do that? I'm not going to ask you to make a speech or to, you know, you're 25 years of age or younger. And, you know, I want you to just look around you. Just stay on your feet just for a moment. I want you just to look around you and look now out of the percentage of the congregation here tonight. All right? I think we're looking right about at least 40%, maybe higher. And we've got some people that are 25 and younger. They're not standing up. Sister Sheila. There's others, okay? They're just ashamed. Okay, get it right. All right, you may sit down, young folks. Listen, as your pastor, I want you to know something. Now, many of you are here tonight because you want to be. Now, perhaps there may be one or two that came because your parents said, we're going to church, and so you're going to church, amen? But I'm so thankful that you're in God's house tonight.
Amen.
I'm thankful, and I pray that you would continue to make this a priority in your life. Now, don't you think because mom and dad have served God and they're on the backside of their life or maybe right in the prime of their life, I don't know, maybe grandpa and grandma's on the backside of their life and they've served God all those years, that that's just going to automatically happen for you. No, it takes some steps. And I want to show you what I believe that it's going to take. Now, I've had some folks come to me recently because I've challenged you to serve God with your life. And I've asked some folks, hey, I want you to write down what you feel like that God has given you as ability or talents and gifts to use in the house of God, to use in the body, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I've had some folks bring me that, and I appreciate that. And I just want you to use your gifts and abilities for the Lord. All right? And I had a young man tonight, and I want that young man to know, he's in the building tonight, and I want you to know something, young man. You encouraged me as your pastor when you said, I just want to do something. And he said, what can I do to help in missions? I said, that's great. I sent him to you, Brother David. And so, you know, I thank God for that. And I believe there's others that maybe have a desire in their heart and they really don't know how to go about it. And there may be some here that would say, you know, I don't understand why I don't have that desire. I should have that desire. I don't get it. I believe I'm saved, but I'm just not sure. Maybe it's a lack of confidence. Maybe it's just I don't know what God wants me to do. And so I want to help you, all right? I want to help you from the Scripture how to serve God with your life. Now, I want you to notice with me here in chapter number 11 of Hebrews, notice this phrase, and it really jumped out at me. It got my attention. It's in verse number 35 of Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm not going to go expositionally tonight, okay? I just have a thought that I want to give you. When you read in verse number 35, the latter part of that verse says this, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Tell you, that thought has been on my mind now for about 3 weeks. What is a better resurrection? Does it mean that you're going to come out of the ground quicker? Does it mean you're going to come out of the ground literally better than someone else? We know that's not the case. It's talking about what you're going to be resurrected to. It's talking about rewards, because when you read the context, when you read the context of Scripture, he's talking about the rewards. When we are resurrected, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be judged for the deeds done in our body, right? We're going to be judged. Now listen, as we've heard even in song tonight, and I appreciate the song, it's a blessing, there's no condemnation to we who are in Christ Jesus. So when we stand before Christ at the Bema seat, we're not going to stand there to be judged for our sin. Thank God that was taken care of at Calvary. Amen. Once for all. Amen. But we are going to be judged for our service, what we have done with the life that Christ has given us. And so he said, these that exercise faith in their life, and that's what this book, you know, it's about Jesus is better. But if you remember when we were back in chapter 5, the latter portion of that, the apostle addressed them and he said, you know, he said, I'd like to be able to discuss some things with you, but you're babes. You have need that somebody teach you, and you should be teachers. You need to put your faith to work, is what he's saying, right? You need to put your faith to work. Hey, you've experienced saving grace. But now you need to have that living grace, that living faith that's going to put you in a mode of service. Now, what did he tell them to do? Don't miss this. When he talked to them about their current condition of receiving milk, he said, now in chapter 6, he said, let us go on unto perfection or maturity. So what's he saying? Hey, you've got to put your faith to work. You got to get busy for God. Listen, saving faith will not leave you just standing still. Right? Faith is an activity. It's an action word. This whole 11th chapter is filled with action words. Right? I mean, it is. When you read the 11th chapter, it's just one action word after the other. Why? Faith is an action. It's not just some mental assent to where people say, well, you know, I believe. No, listen, you act on what you believe. You don't just talk about it. You act on it. And when we do that, the Scripture says, regardless, in verse number 35, it's talking about, up until this point, some quenched the fire, and we've talked about these things, but now others were tortured. All right? But regardless of what God has in store, it may be suffering. All right? It might be triumphant, but it might be suffering. I guarantee you, in your Christian experience, there's going to be a little bit of both. And here's what he said. He said, but regardless, he said, when you do it by faith, when we do what God said to do, we're going to be resurrected to a better resurrection. Amen. You're not going to be ashamed before him at his coming. Amen. You're going to have confidence before him. Amen. You're going to stand there and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. I'm longing for that. How about you, brethren? Amen. I'm longing for that. Amen. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Kept the faith. I finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Right? A better resurrection. Now, when you go back in chapter 11, and he said in verse number 4, and we know this to be the faith chapter, right? So here's what he said. In chapter number 11, in verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, and I mentioned this just in passing Wednesday, and I said I was going to address it tonight. There are three individuals that are mentioned that is what we would call, they lived in the antediluvian age, the age before the deluge or the flood. Now, why did he choose just three? Were there more? Absolutely. Absolutely. But why did he choose these three? Well, that's because of the faith that they exercised. And God has an order here. Don't miss this. There's an order. And it's always this order. You say, well, I want to go to work for God. I'm glad that you do. You may be sitting here saying, I don't understand why I don't want to go to work for God. I don't understand it. I am saved. Why are there not doors opening up for me? Why am I not having opportunities to serve? I want to serve. Or maybe I don't realize why I don't want to serve. Watch what happens here. In verse number 4, it says, by faith, Abel. All right? Now, when you think of Abel, and our brother tonight mentioned suffering, you think Abel suffered? I think he did. I think he did. Now, here's a word I want you to write down if you would write down. If not, then I at least want you to try to really get it impressed in your mind. Worship. See, notice what it says. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. This was his worship. See, this is where it begins. A lot of people, they get saved and they say, well, you know what? I'm ready to go to work now. I'm saved. Hey, wait a minute. No. See, you'll get involved in religious activity and it'll burn you out. You'll start doing things, and before long, you'll start murmuring and complaining about what work you're doing in the church. Why? You're not worshiping. See, worship puts a smile on your face when you're serving God. Amen. Worship causes you to serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Worship does that. See, if you just get saved and go to work for God, you won't be serving God with gladness. You'll be sad and mad and bickering and complaining and murmuring. So he said, I want to talk to you about serving. I want to talk to you about going on to maturity, perfection, completeness. And he said, the way to do that is you've got to have worship. See, I don't want to be involved just in religious activity, and I don't think you do either. So we're going to have to worship. And this is where it begins. Say, well, God's seeking laborers. Well, John chapter 4 says he's seeking worshipers. Turn there just for a moment in John chapter 4 and verse 23. You know the account, right? Yeah. John chapter 4. Turn there if you would, just briefly. John chapter 4, this is the account of what we call the bad Samaritan, right? We know about the good Samaritan. In Luke chapter 10, this is the account of the bad Samaritan, right? The woman at the well. And the scripture says here in John chapter 4, look at verse number 23 of John chapter 4. Jesus speaking said, in John chapter 4 and verse number 23 said this. He said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. See, God is seeking worshipers. And so you want to serve God, you want to serve him with gladness, it starts out with worship. Worship always leads to service. Somebody say amen with me now. Amen. Listen, we've got a church full of people, and I don't mean just here. I'm talking about around the world. There are churches filled with people who I really believe want to serve God, but they haven't understood there is an order that God uses. And it's found here as we go back to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll give you just a couple of thoughts, and we'll pick up on this Wednesday night. All right? So number one, Abel worshiped God. Now, it cost him something. I wrote down here, as I was thinking about this, persecution. Your family. See, if you decide that you're going to worship God, there's going to be people they're going to laugh at you. They're going to call you names. And it may be people that are very close to you. And it may hurt, and you may have to make a decision. Amen. You may have to make a decision. Is it going to be God or this family member? Is it going to be God or this job? Is it going to be God or this money? Is it going to be God or this hobby? But when you get serious about worshiping God, it's going to cost you something. See, Abel was serious. You'll never convince me that Cain didn't try to tell him, hey, listen, I'm doing it this way, and I think you should. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it this way. See, there's always going to be someone trying to mess with your worship. They're going to be trying to come between you and God, me and God. There are always going to be those that will try to tell you, oh, I think you ought to do it this way. You ought to get involved. Hey, listen, you ought to get you a praise band down there. I'll never forget one time a man asked me, he said, who's your worship leader down there? I said, the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't need that stuff. We have the best worship leader that ever has been. The Holy Ghost will lead us into worship. So he said here, he said, Abel, now is it going to cost you something to worship? You better believe it is. Especially in this day in which we live. The price is going up, isn't it? The stakes are being raised, brethren. Number two, look at verse number five. So that's a worship in faith, and it brings persecution. And listen, there's going to have to be some sacrifices made. I'm not talking about attending church. Don't get this mistake in what I'm teaching here. I'm not talking about picking up your church attendance. I'm talking about worshiping God when you come to church, worshiping God when you're at home, worshiping God daily, finding that time to get alone with God and to worship Him. Because that's where it starts. When we begin to worship, God will begin to create something in us that causes us to want to serve Him. You know who you worship? Who you serve? A lot of people serve themselves. Don't be one of those now. Because that is who we will serve, who we worship. Number two, look at verse number five. By faith, Enoch. What about this man, Enoch? Well, the Bible said Enoch walked with God. Now, here's the second step. Enoch had a walking faith. See, he lived in that age. Very few people serving God in Enoch's day. Didn't slow him down. See, Enoch didn't suffer persecution. Enoch, he had to deal with separation. I wrote that word down. As I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, I believe Enoch was a separated Christian. God took him, didn't he? God took him. He says, you know what? I'm not going to be like the world. Oh, preacher, I can't serve God. There's just wickedness all around me. Well, Enoch did. You can too. I can too. So there's worship. Now, what does worship do? Worship makes me want to walk right. The Bible's just filled in the New Testament about walking faith. We walk by what? Faith, not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 says we walk in love. That's verse number 2. Verse number 15 says we walk circumspectly. That means upright. Right? Not as fools, but as wise. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 4 says we ought to walk worthy of the vocation whereunto we have been called. So our walk means something. So Enoch had a walk in faith. See, Enoch was willing to be different. Now, if I'm going to serve God effectively, I'm going to have to get to this place in my life. And as I worship God, God is going to help me, and God is going to create in me a desire to walk with Him. Say, preacher, I don't know what it is. I just yield and I give in. Well, you need to get back to step number one. Worship. Worship will help us walk. It will. It'll help us walk. Then, in verse number 7, see, this is where a lot of people, they like to jump over and get right into verse number 7. I want to start building something. Isn't that what Noah did? He had a working faith. You know, folks get saved. And if we're not careful as ministry leaders, pastors, we'll start putting them to work. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing something for the Lord. But I think the first thing we need to do is teach them, worship God. Amen. Worship God. Strengthen your faith. Hey, by the way, as I bring this to a close for right now, what is your faith? You know, the Bible speaks of little faith, weak faith. You know, the Bible says that Abraham was not weak in faith. Uh-uh. He didn't consider his own body dead, nor the womb of his wife Sarah. That's in the book of Romans chapter 4. Is your faith weak and little? Or is it strong? Didn't the Bible say that about Abraham's faith? He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then there was that, I mentioned him this morning, there was that centurion, his servant. He had great faith. There was that Syrophoenician woman who brought her daughter, and Matthew chapter 15, she said that, you know, the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. What a statement. And Jesus said, oh, daughter, great is thy faith. Right? How is your faith? Is it weak? Little? Is it great? Strong? Faith has to be exercised. And so here, he said, number one, there has to be a worshiping faith. Now, why did he do that? Why did he go from worship to walk, and then verse number 7, to work? He knew that these believers would get it. He knew. I challenge you to do this. I read after a man by the name of M.R. Dehan. Now, if you ever find a book by M.R. Dehan, buy it. You say, preacher, would I like it? Buy it. M.R. Dehan's gone on to heaven. Dr. Dehan started a ministry called the Radio Bible Class many years ago. From that ministry came Our Daily Bread. When Our Daily Bread was under the leadership of Dr. M.R. Dehan, it was straight as an arrow. Unfortunately, like many other things, it has gone in a bad direction. M.R. Dehan was a great Bible teacher. If you ever find anything by M.R. Dehan, you buy it and you read it. You say, what if I don't like it? Bring it to me and I'll buy it from you. I have every book that he's ever written. And so I'm reading after M.R. Dehan, and he makes this statement, and I thought, wow, you know, I've never thought about that before, and so I want to share it with you as we close today. See, he's writing to Hebrew believers. Now, what did he bring up these individuals for? Abel is a picture of worship and faith. Now, what book in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, is about worship? Leviticus. We just studied it. It's about worship. You read it. When you open up to Leviticus chapter 1, God is speaking to Moses from the tabernacle. And he's saying, hey, tell people if they're going to bring an offering, listen to me now, if they're going to bring an offering, this is the way it's got to be. If they're going to worship me, this is the way it's got to happen. Right? I'll worship God the way I want to. No, you won't. Uh-uh. No. Now, why Leviticus? Because Genesis tells us about the fall. Exodus tells us about the Passover lamb, the blood, right? Redemption. So when you realize you're a sinner and you realize how you can be redeemed and come out from that captivity and be set free, then you need to learn to worship. That's Leviticus, right? What's Numbers about? The journey as you walk, right? Yes. You know what Deuteronomy's about? It's about law and obedience. This is how you live in the new land. This is how you teach your children these things, right? It's about work. This is what you need to do. He said, this is what you need to do. So I want to ask you a question. So I want to serve God with my life, preacher. I'm glad that you do. There may be someone, as we stand to our feet, sitting here tonight, and you say, you know, I don't know why, but I don't have that desire to serve the Lord. You're starting in the wrong place. You've jumped right to work, right? So you jumped from Genesis to you realized you were a sinner to Exodus, you got saved, and now you want to go to Deuteronomy. You need to get back to Leviticus. You need to realize, like Abel did, hey, I need to worship. Are you worshiping God? You know, a lot of folks come to church, they never worship God. A lot of folks just don't worship God. I don't know that some folks even know what worship is. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. How do you worship God, preacher? Well, you worship God by making sacrifices. You worship God by ascribing unto Him His worth. God, you're worthy. Right? You worship God. When you worship God, you begin to walk with Him. You will. And when you begin to worship God and walk with Him, you will go to work for Him. But now, if you just get saved and say, I'm going to work for God, that doesn't work out too well. I've seen a lot of people do that. Now, I know God's seeking laborers. Listen, I know what Luke 10 teaches. I know about praying. that God would send laborers, workers into his harvest. All right, I understand that. But I'm telling you, when you read the scripture, we need folks that understand this process right here. And I want to help somebody here tonight that maybe you've tried a ministry or you've tried serving and it just didn't work out. Your heart wasn't in it, or it just you burn out, or you just got frustrated and it just didn't it didn't do it for you. Perhaps you need to go back to the first step. Worship. When you begin to worship, you'll begin to walk. When you begin to worship and walk, then you'll begin to work. You think Noah was deterred from his work? Think he was? I don't want to quit on God, preacher. Then we need Noah's kind of faith. Man preached 120 years. Right? Yeah. Why? Why? Because he looked ahead. I want you to bow your head with me.